Hey, drama listeners. I am so excited to share with you this episode with Kennedy Kanagawa, who you all surely know as the beloved Milky White in this incredible new revival of Into the Woods that's taken Broadway by storm over the last couple of months. We get into all of the details about how he ended up getting to play Milky White. Wait, do you like how I said details instead of details? Anyways, we get into all of that and we learn about our most recent bonus episode guest, David, who is Kennedy's boyfriend. That's right. It's such a fun episode. Connor and I really hit it off well with Kennedy. And if you haven't seen Into the Woods yet, you only have until I think January 8th. So you'd better get your tickets. But of course, you're going to want to listen to our episode. Also, subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where we have bonus episodes. You'll be on our Instagram close friends, and you'll also win the eternal love and devotion from Connor and I. So get on it. We love you all so much, and let's get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
The option, no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
I am Dylan McDowell. And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, what's up? Happy Friday. We've been doing Friday recordings, I think, every single week, which is kind of, it's like a little fun routine.
I love it because it's not like a midweek thing where I'm like, oh, in the middle of the week, I have to be like, ready for this podcast. Cause you know, I always want to be my best self. And I think I might bring stress into a midweek podcast recording.
I'm a Virgo. I bring stress into everything in my life.
Yeah. So now we're obviously in Virgo season.
We are.
The Virgo's groove, as Beyonce says. What are you anticipating? Like, what does that mean? Like, if it's Virgo season, what does that mean? Cause I feel like people are always like horoscoping the year now. I feel like it's become quite the trend.
I know. Well, it's a time of getting it together. You know, it's no mistake that Virgo season lands during like the beginning of the traditional like American school year, where you're getting organized, fresh beginnings, new starts, refreshes. So it's kind
new
of like
new school supplies from Target.
That was always the best. Oh my God. And we'd always make our mom get us like the brand new crayons, even though we had ones that were perfectly workable. You know what I mean?
They needed to be fresh. They needed to smell like plastic.
That's it. It's kind of like a kickstart, which is why I love that it's our birthday. And also it was kind of like the start of a school year and everything. Like, it really does feel like the perfect time to, you know, resolve to do new things.
Absolutely.
And I know that
like the Broadway season sort of begins right after the Tonys, but it does feel like the beginning of the new season. I mean, we did have some early entries this year into the 2022-2023 Broadway season. However, the show that we're going to be primarily talking about today, which was a summer blockbuster.
And now is a fall blockbuster.
And it's getting a little bit of a refresh.
It is.
It's Sonia Morgan before a new filming of a season of Real Housewives of New York.
Are you thinking about that somewhere?
Going away to, yes, you're wearing your, I must have subconsciously thought of that.
God, I miss Sonia Morgan.
I know, but I will say our friends Sophia and Isabel for our birthday recently got us a cameo from Sonia.
Incredible, worth every penny, which I don't know how many pennies
I know
it was,
that they're not cheap. Like, if you want to get a housewife, it's not cheap. So it's a very generous gift.
And she did it from the townhouse.
And I will say she did. And she gave the podcast a shout out. So
Sonia
on Drama when.
She also referred to Roni, Real Housewives in New York, as Ronnie.
Right.
Which was so Sonia. I mean, come
which was wasn't that Gaga's name when she was pretending to be a performer, like a contestant on Drag Race in the season 9 premiere. She like was in the interview chair and giving interview as Ronnie.
We need today's guest's boyfriend to tell us because he is such a Drag Race person. He would know. He would absolutely know. But anyway, I feel like that could be a perfect segue into talking about our guest.
Yes.
And because we did chat with his boyfriend already. And
the order of release is unclear.
It's a 1-2 punch. It's giving like, you know, Eliza and Hamilton singing Helpless into
Angelica singing Angelica Satisfied. Yes.
It's that. It's very like you're getting everything you want and then more.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I mentioned this off.
Okay, I'm randomly talking about theater. Am I okay?
I know. You're always like, yeah. This guest was the breakout star of the summer. I mean, someone literally got his character tattooed on their bicep. Now, listen, that's rock star status. If someone's getting a tattoo, it's rock star status.
Whoa, I had not put that together, but you're right. That's iconography.
Mm-hmm. I think you should bring in the icon.
It's time to introduce. So our guest today, as Dylan said, is the breakout star of the critically lauded revival of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. Currently starring as the beloved Milky White, this performer is making a Broadway debut for the ages with his puppetry and talents alike. Our guest also makes magical appearances throughout the show, operating birds, the giant shoes, and even witch hands. He also appeared in Gold Mountain at the Utah Shakespeare Festival, Adventure File, Saturday Night, The Good Swimmer, Lolita, My Love at the York Theater Company, Dinner with Georgette, Eastbound, Falsettos, and so much more. He has appeared in countless concerts, readings, regional productions, and finally arrived on Broadway to bring Milky White to life and steal the hearts of every single audience member who soaks up his sublime talent. Please welcome to drama, Kennedy Kanagawa!
Hi! Wow, that was such a nice intro.
Oh my gosh, welcome, Kennedy. It's so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me.
And to hear your voice. I feel like most people don't know what your voice sounds like.
That's actually very fair, yeah.
How does it feel to have someone have your character tattooed on them? Is that like surreal?
Yeah, we found out about it when we were rehearsing for the transfer. Rachel, one of our company managers, mentioned it to me on a break. And the way she said it, it was like kind of flippant. And I thought that she was making a joke. And then she was like, wait, no, have you not seen the TikTok? And I was like, what? So she showed me. And this girl, Ashley, she's so nice. We actually ended up meeting. She like made a whole TikTok of like her day of going to the tattoo parlor and getting the tattoo. So it was so crazy to see. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It looks just like Milky.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'll ask you many questions about Milky himself. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's all respectful pronouns.
He, she, they, anything. Yeah. Okay. Love it.
I love that. Love, love, love.
Now, do you have any tattoos?
I don't. And okay. I really, really want one. I just think tattoos are so cool. I like follow tattoo like artist accounts on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I might end up just getting one to like commemorate this show. It's my Broadway debut. Probably won't be a cow, but like maybe like a birch tree or like a moon or something. I don't
Would
know.
You do a lyric?
You know, I've thought about it, but there are so many good.
I know.
Pretty much any line that you point to would be a good tattoo in the show.
I know. I don't know if it was Jason or Julia, both of whom from your show we've had on the pod. I think I asked them their favorite Sondheim lyric. Is that right, Connor?
Yeah, you did. It was with Jason.
And it was a cruel thing to ask because like I couldn't even answer the question, really. I think I said something from Giants in the Sky, but the show is just full of lessons and lyrics. I'm sure you hear new lyrics differently every night.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with different performers doing them, right?
Yeah, I can't wait for this new group of people to come in and see all of their takes. Actually, later today is our epic put-in with all the new people, and it'll be my first time seeing or hearing any of them do stuff, so it's going to be really exciting.
Is the put-in the full show?
Yeah, I think we're going to run through the whole show. And
oh my gosh.
It's exciting because, so like, the cow puppet is pretty heavy for my poor little delicate hands. So I'm like in physical therapy and like dealing with like some body fatigue.
Drama.
Yeah, drama. So the stage managers have been super sweet and they are having one of my understudies do the put in, but I'll still be able to like chill in the audience and like actually watch the show. So that'll be exciting too.
You have the best gig then. I mean, to sit back and watch SJB, Sebastian Arcelus has returned to Broadway.
I know. I'm so excited. And all of the, so during their rehearsal process, which we have not been a part of, they have been working with our incredible team of understudies who are, you know, just like plugging in. So they have people to interact with in their rehearsal process. So they've gotten to know each other well at this point. And so we're hearing from the understudies like, oh my gosh, they're amazing. Just wait until you hear this thing that they do. And oh, they're doing, this person's doing this thing so differently. It's going to be so interesting. And so
Oh, I was going to ask you, what have you heard? But I would imagine it's only good things.
Oh, yeah, only good things. So.
Oh my God, that is so exciting. Well, listen, we kind of jumped into it, but I am curious. We're finding you in this wild time of life, and we do like to check in with our guests and ask
Yes, we
how
do. We
you're
do.
doing. Yeah, Kennedy, are you well?
I'm so well. Yeah, everything, it's, I don't know, everything is so great and crazy. And I kind of have like career whiplash. Like, this has all happened so quickly that I don't know if like my body and like heart have caught up to it, but I'm just like just trying to ride the wave and I'm really just having a blast.
Yeah, I mean, you've been, was it the New York Times that did a piece on you?
New York Times, Washington Post just did a feature that came out, I think, last weekend. CBS just, I think, yesterday did released a feature that they filmed with me for CBS Morning. Another thing is we're filming another thing in a week or two for another channel. Like it's crazy.
That's amazing. And you say whiplash. What do you mean? Like, where were things?
Well, I mean, I was working steadily, but it was like I didn't audition for this. So I was working on the premiere of a new play at Portland Stage in Maine in March. And while I was there, James Ortiz, who is the puppet designer of our show and one of the most brilliant, talented people I know, messaged me on Instagram and was like, "Hey, are you free in May?" And I was like, "Yeah, I get back from my show in April. And I don't have anything else lined up so far." And he was like, "Okay, cool. I'm gonna put your name in for this like thing." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then that thing was Into the Woods with Neil Patrick Harris and Sarah Bareilles and Heather Headley. I didn't even really think that anything would come of that. I was like, "Okay, yeah, sure." And then my agent was like, "So you just got an offer to do this?" And
That's wild.
yeah. And now I'm on Broadway. Like what? Like I don't.
Which was never on the table, right? That was like, it was just supposed to be a weekend or 2 weekends.
Two weeks of performing, like 10 days or something like that.
That's crazy. I remember, like, I hadn't had tickets to see it yet, and I did get to see it at City Center, but I remember seeing all these tweets about like the hot Milky White. Do you remember that? I'm sure it came across your desk. You're on Twitter, right? Or no?
I have technically a Twitter account, but I don't know how to use Twitter and I never go on it. Although, because a bunch of people were like forwarding me things, and someone made a tweet that was so wildly inappropriate that I had to like log into my Twitter account just to respond. I think I just was like,
Wait, what was the tweet? What did it say?
I don't know. Is it, am I allowed to say it on
Oh
here?
yeah. Oh
Okay.
yeah.
It said, I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it said that between the puppeteer who operates Winnie the Pooh in the Winnie the Pooh show
Yes.
and the puppeteer that operates Milky White and Into the Woods, Twinks are really getting their like time in the spotlight of like people that I would like to make puppets out of.
Oh, oh my God.
Are you kidding?
That's wild.
So bold.
And you just said in
I
response.
just said and I think they deleted it.
I
I'm
love
gonna
that response.
look it up to see if it's still there, but
I'm gagged. That is so
Twitter
crazy.
is the Wild West. People will say the craziest things.
TikTok too, people are
TikTok is where the
very.
rumor mill is. That's, I feel
I
like, where people want to like spill
know.
tea and like.
Yes, also that. And it's funny because there's that guy,
Yes. The
sweaty
sweaty
something,
oracle.
stinky.
It's
Yeah.
the stinky.
I don't
Not the
know.
stinky. So that's so funny you say that because Connor and I have a Patreon plug where we will talk about, we'll maybe kiki and gossip a little bit. It's just the two of us, and it's like a, our devoted listeners can like write in, and we talked about him. And he's trying to start rumors about possible future replacements for Into the Woods.
Oh yeah, wait, yes. I'll tell you now, but I guess he said that Idina Menzel is coming in as the witch, which is a gag to end all gags, and I could actually totally see her doing it. You don't have to react in any way. But okay, I heard he said that, and I actually don't keep up with him on TikTok. I'm not on theater TikTok. I'm on like straight boys who kind of like bait the gays TikTok, where they like
swing.
You know what I mean? That's like what I see
absolutely.
On there. Yeah. So I see that, but I guess the sweaty said also that the baker and baker's wife will be Norbert Leo Butts and Sherry Renee Scott, which also would be a gag, but I don't think could ever happen. But anyway, yeah, theater TikTok is crazy.
I know. And we, like, everyone in the cast saw his videos and was talking about it because, well, first of all, they don't tell us shit. Right. About, am I allowed to curse?
Oh, yeah, whatever you want.
Okay. They don't tell us anything, like, the cast. But, you know, he earlier had said a video of the replacement cast, and it was all accurate.
Right.
And it was before it was announced, but I think at that point, I don't know if we knew about it at that point or not, but so we were like, oh, so he's getting something accurate from someone.
Right.
Who is the leak? Who is it?
Yeah, and how do we find
it's the him? It's the guy who plays the steward.
David Turner? Oh my God. Oh, because he did leaks.
We talked about that
something.
With Julia. He leaked.
Oh my gosh.
There was an album, I want to say.
Yes, he did. And this is actually a leak that happened really early that I don't know that anyone was talking about, but David Patrick Kelly, who plays the mysterious man, we found out that we were transferring the Monday in between performance weeks at Encores.
Oh.
Which was so exciting. But David Patrick Kelly, you know, he's an older guy, but he's on Facebook, he's active on Facebook. And one of the most brilliant people. And he wrote on Facebook, like, so excited to have Into the Woods be transferring to Broadway at the St. James Theater starting on July. It was like all of the information. And I was like, oh, no, that's not allowed. Who's going to tell him? And so then friends started texting me, being like, oh, so you're transferring. And I was like, I'm not supposed to.
Right.
And then I think someone eventually told him he took it down. But luckily, you know, that was just his Facebook like circle. But
yes, what a sweet man. Oh, my God. That's so cute. He just copy and pasted the company email and
pretty much. Yeah. And all of our social security numbers. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was just super casual.
Yeah.
Ugh, I love that. And I want to just ask, I know it's probably hard because you're in it, but what has this experience meant to you so far?
It's almost embarrassing at this point saying it because it doesn't sound true maybe, but Into the Woods has always been my favorite musical of all time. And I've just, like, I grew up on the PBS VHS of the original cast.
Of course.
And I don't know, just like really speaks to me, and as it does with so many people. And so getting to do this production. And, you know, and I saw the movie, and I saw it when it was in the park, and I saw the 2002 revival. And so I've seen a lot of these different iterations and then the OG VHS. And so to be a part of this revival and like feel like, oh, my gosh, this is getting it right in so many amazing ways. And I get to be a part of it is blows my mind every day. And I'm so grateful.
I'm so happy for you. That's,
I know.
Beyond, when you put it that way too, I love hearing how much it means to you. I mean, you've seen basically every major version of it. Wait, so you saw Amy Adams, right?
I did. Park? Yeah.
Was she good?
She was. Yeah.
Yeah. The wig wasn't. The wig was a tragedy.
Oh my God. I'm crying.
It looked like a bird's nest.
Oh, you know, I don't remember her wig, but
I'm a wig connoisseur.
Oh yeah.
Dylan's always paying attention to the wigs.
I always clock the wig.
What role did you always want to play in Into the Woods?
So I did actually play Jack in a concert version at the Times Theater with the National Asian Artist Project. So it was an all Asian cast, and I was Jack, and Anne Harada was the witch. So when we reunited at Encores, that was a really fun moment. I actually, she played my mom in my first ever professional production when I was 13. So we've known each other for a very long time. And so
No
it
way.
was really sweet reuniting.
Oh my gosh. Anne did our show right before Schmigadoon season one came out or something like that. And talk about one of those like beloved icons of the community.
Just the best. I love her so much. And I'm so excited she's coming back.
Yes, that thank goodness. Although I will say I love is her name Amy Garcia.
Yes, incredible.
Amazing. Slay.
Just the brightest light.
Yes.
So sweet, so hilarious.
Yeah, it's cool that we're getting so many different like takes on these roles as well. But no one could do Milky Way like you. Like when you said you have an understudy, I was like, but how? Because it's something that you do, but it's also something in the eyes of the puppet. And it's just you are like we see. I don't ignore you. Where I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just looking at the puppet. You feel like very much the character as well, which I think is really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, we James and I had a lot of fun figuring that out and like maintaining the gaze on the cow to help guide the eye primarily to the cow, but also like if I'm acting, I will sympathetically be like making facial expressions and things. And then when we have these meta moments of acknowledging the puppeteer with the audience, like how that is also a character. And Lear gave us so much opportunity to play. And I think that that's true with everyone in the cast. Like she just gave us so much room to play. And I think that that really is something that translates in the production, that it's just everyone is having so much fun.
It's clear.
You can tell. I know. Dylan and I are both like, yeah. And we're coming to see it. We're coming back. We're
Oh,
coming
yay! When are you coming?
next Thursday,
Next.
actually.
Awesome. Oh, so you'll see the new people.
The new folks. I can't wait. This is getting me excited
I
to see it
know. I
again, too.
know. It's, there's so many new shows, but this is one of those ones that I will come back. It's like Waitress. I'll come back every time there's somebody new in the cast.
Yes.
Well, you were absolutely brilliant in it. And you obviously are not only Milky White, you also operate. There's some birds and some other the giants. Is it hands or feet? Both or
The giant's feet
feet?
and the witch's
That's
hands.
what it is. Okay. Was that like sprung on you? Like, did you know that was going to happen when you were given the offer?
My track kind of evolved before even getting into the room, which, at Encores, we had like 3 minutes to put together
Yeah.
the production. But it was great having a relationship with James. He was able to like text me and be like, hey, just a heads up, XYZ. So I think that initially they were just going to have one puppeteer who was going to also double as Cinderella's father, and that was initially at Encore is going to be Ashley Park. So I think that was also part of it, like, oh, like having a puppeteer who is also Asian American who can play, blah blah blah. But also, like, first of all, I have received feedback that I don't look like I could play a father, which I think I agree with. But
You're very youthful looking.
thank you. But there also were too many puppets to like to split all that up. So that ended up, James texting me, he was like, okay, so you're actually not gonna be, you're gonna be just the cow, but also like you're gonna have some like birds and like maybe some other things. So then it just kind of like evolved as they developed the production.
I love the birds, I have to say. And you're making those sounds too, right?
I am, and we actually didn't do that at Encores. At Encores, I think Danae would just like hold me to her ear and I'd like kind of wiggle in it. And then she would say like what I was saying out loud. But then when we were transferring and working out the new stuff with Pippa, James was like, actually, can you whistle? And I was like, yeah, but it's like a weird whistle through my teeth that like people used to always tease me for. But then we were like, oh, it actually is like kind of sounds like a bird. So like, let's use it.
Oh, how cool. It's amazing. I feel like so many full circle moments are possibly happening here with your time and Into the Woods. And you mentioning growing up or watching the PBS special or things like that. We do kind of like to go back to the beginning. And this might have been your answer, but we've taken a concept from Fun Home of when small Allison, sees a woman for the first time that she finds attractive, but also sees herself. We've changed it for our podcast. It's called the Ring of Keys moment, like the song, but it's when you saw art or something that helped your passion come alive and you identified with it very strongly. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment in your youth or maybe even a little bit later?
That's a great question. I feel like I might have had like a couple of different keys on the ring.
I love that.
Like I kind of always grew up performing. I was in my second grade play and my third grade play. And
hey, you're bragging.
Yeah. And also not want to brag, but my fourth grade play too.
Wow.
yeah.
The triple crown.
So, and you know, I was, you know, enjoying it. So that was kind of a moment of like, oh, this is fun. And then honestly, that original Into the Woods PBS pro shot, I wore out and was, I think, a different key of like, oh, this is a, like, you know, being in really rosy in the basement of my school in Tokyo is one thing, but like, oh, theater can be this. Oh, that is a revelation. And I am drawn to that. And then honestly, I think, so my first professional job with Anna Harada was the All Asian Revival of Falsetto Land at the Vineyard.
Oh.
And that, I think, was like the third key of like being a part of it and seeing what it's like and the community and the way in which theater can connect with an audience and tell a powerful story and really kind of affect change was revelatory. And I was like, oh yeah, this, I don't think that I can stop doing this ever. So,
well, I mean, being in Falsetto Land, like that's also probably some more adult themes.
Oh yeah.
You know, identity and things like that too, that, I mean, also layered with it being all Asian, I'm sure that was probably interesting as well.
Seeing that representation on the stage and like feeling a part of that in a way that like, I love the original cast of Into the Woods, but like didn't see myself in it at all. And so mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that is a cool thing. But like Falsetto Land's like, yeah, we can do this was so powerful. And also, you know, really like big themes like the AIDS epidemic and like gay love stories and also the actors being gay and happy and normal. And like me, little like 13-year-old, like in the closet being like, oh, there's nothing wrong with being gay and real, like, and I'm still, you know, I have relationships with all of those people from that show still all these years later. And they were really role models in so many ways to me.
Oh, that's so, Connor, I feel like we had someone else on the podcast who was in that production. Maybe it was just Anne.
Maybe it was Anne.
Jason Ma.
Well, Jason Ma, he directed or wrote Gold Mountain.
He wrote Gold Mountain. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because we had Johnny and Allie on.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. Ugh, they are like you as well, but the sweetest people ever.
They're so, so wonderful. I love them both so much. We had so much fun in Utah together.
That was fun when we chatted with them. They were like,
I wanted to see it, but it was like too
late.
I know.
It was like their last weekend or something
yeah.
like that.
It was yeah.
crazy.
Wait, Kennedy, I have like so many questions. Okay. First of all, I love that you had this experience with Falsetto Land. And I feel like there were so many layers in there. And I want to ask about, did you grow up in Tokyo?
I was born there and lived there till I was 10.
So you're 10. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I guess I was curious about like what theater, how different theater was in Japan versus the theater you experienced in America.
Very different. I mean, I went to an international school. So my second, third and fourth grade plays were in English. But it's funny because there are all of the different traditional Japanese forms of theater, but also Western theater is super popular. And my stepmother is actually a retired Takarazuka performer. And Takarazuka is this form of Japanese. It's musical theater done only with women. And so you have these altos playing these male roles, and it's basically drag, and they are such hot guys, and it's so queer, but not acknowledged as being queer. But they are there are these like droves of housewives that are like screaming fans at the stage doors for these the women playing the male roles. So, and my stepmother was one of those actors. But they do like Western musicals too, but like all female cast. It's so cool.
It's the revival of 1776, but make it more queer.
Literally, yes.
So there was theater in your house too, then.
Yeah, my mother actually she acted for a hot second as a girl, but. We, you know, she married a Japanese guy and moved to Tokyo and had babies, and she transitioned to voiceover work. And that was actually kind of like my first introduction to performing, because she was doing some gig there that needed, like, there was a little boy playing her son, and it was like a bilingual thing, but the boy literally like threw a tantrum and refused to do it. And I was like, I'm ready to do it.
You're like, I was booked in the second, third, and fourth grade production.
And don't you forget it. Yeah. So
what kind of voiceover work was that?
I was a regular on this animated show. It wasn't anime, but it was a cartoon that was
a regular iconic.
Yeah. Pumpkin the orange cat. But it was like, you know, to teach, it was a cartoon to teach kids English.
So cool.
And then, like, you know, like commercials and things, and being able to speak English, it was like, I don't know. English in Japan is like really cool. Like it doesn't always make sense, but like if there's a slogan for a company or something, like if it's in English, then that's like, that's cool.
Wait, that is so, I never knew that. Do you still have family there? Or?
Yeah. My dad and stepmom still live there with that side of the family. So I was supposed to go visit them in March of 2020.
Ah, of course.
And that didn't work out. So then I finally rescheduled for after we closed this fall, and then we got extended. So I had to cancel that ticket too, but I will get back to see him soon.
Maybe don't schedule it for a while.
Or maybe keep scheduling it, because it feels like the karma is making me have to reschedule.
Well, I'm sure the sweaty Oracle has plenty to say about that. You know, listen, I'm giving him too much airtime.
I know. We're cutting that line. I actually don't know him. I don't want to
be on his radar. I don't want anything.
I know. I don't want him to talk about us. Actually, that would be great press.
Create a feud.
I love it.
We did get the origin of your love story with David, who is also a friend of the pod now. And where were you in your career when you ended up in this show that David was producing on?
I don't know if he told you this, but he was like looking for this last minute replacement for this role because his actor had dropped out. And so he reached out to someone asking for recommendations, and my name was on the list. So
top of the list.
I don't know where it was on the list.
But... In all capitals.
Oh.
Okay, so this needs to come out after the David one.
Okay. It does. So I got an email from this guy who he said he was like producing, so I thought he was like some old man. and he asked me to submit. I was like, okay. And so, and it's funny because I was actually going about to leave to do falsettos regionally as Whizzer, and he had wanted me to come in to audition, and I was like, I am about to leave town, can I do a tape? And so he said sure. So I did a tape, and I like left it to the last minute, and I was just like, ugh, what even is this? I don't know this play. It's like some play from Scotland. And so then I sent that in, and then I don't know, time passed, and then he asked to talk on the phone with me, because I think he was like excited to like offer it to me like directly. And so I took the phone call. I remember I was like in Pennsylvania, and I was like cooking chicken. I had just set off this like the fire alarm. I was like, hello. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to let you know that like we'd love to offer you this part. And I was like, oh, okay. Can I think about it? I didn't know anything about this production. So then I called one of my besties, Michael Byron, and I was like, I just got this offer, but I don't know anything about this. And like, I don't know the people. And like, what would you do? And he was like, you don't have anything else happening at that point. Just do it. And I was like, okay. So then I said yes. And it ended up being like such a wonderful, fun, rewarding experience. And we became super close friends from that. And then like a year and a half later, started dating.
were you crushing at all during the process, or were you very professional and focused?
Oh no, I was not crushing at all. I mean, he was a sweetheart, but he was also, you know, like coming out of the closet at that point, and like, okay. I didn't know that what he liked. But yeah, he was just like a really sweet guy, and he was so funny. And also the age of people in the cast, he was closest to my age. And so I think that also really bonded us together. And then like COVID happened and we both got it at the same time. And we ended up like living two blocks away from each other. So we ended up hanging out all the time. And then one day he kissed me and I was like, oh.
Wait, I'm loving your side of the story. It's funny to hear the timelines. Mm-hmm. They're the same, by the way. They're the same. They're the same. They're the same. But yours is a little juicier. Yours is a little juicier.
It is juicier. I've never had that experience where you're like professional friends with someone for a while and then it like turns at a point. So that always fascinates me because it feels like something out of the movies, but it's real.
Yeah, that had never happened to me before. But it worked out pretty good. So,
and he's a gem, and you guys are happy and in love and
we are
hustling. And you're in his web series in the premiere.
I am, yes.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. And
you edited it.
I did.
Oh, he told us not to mention that.
Yeah, he told us not to mention that. We're gonna.
Oh,
we're gonna
my move God. On. That's so funny. Yeah, no, I did edit it. And it was really fun.
Oh, I love that. Wait, so, you know, we've jumped all over the place, but, you know, you worked for a long time before this Broadway moment happened. You know, you mentioned the whiplash and everything of all of a sudden your life kind of changing. Was there like a credit or something in your career that you felt like the most fulfilled by, like some sort of a professional experience that, you know, it had Into the Woods not happened, you would say was maybe one of your proudest theatrical experiences?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, it was also so recent, but I was really proud of Gold Mountain. It was so special to be in this all Asian cast. Well, we had one token white guy to be the oppressor, but he was kind of an honorary Asian. And like all Asian creative team and telling this story of Asian American history and just the most wonderful people and the most beautiful music in a devastating story. Yeah, that was a really special time.
You know what? I want there to be an album.
Yeah. Come on, Jason, get on it.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, it's so sad that shows don't necessarily live on unless there's an album or unless they're licensed.
Yeah.
And from what I heard online, it is like such beautiful music. And I know it took forever for the show to finally happen. So
it was so funny. I remember Johnny being like, and Allie has the voice of an angel. And I just stare at her in awe. And then Allie was like, but then Johnny opens his mouth. And he has the most beautiful voice on the planet. I was like, oh my God, you guys are so nice. I also heard you're an amazing singer.
Kesley. Yes.
Thank you. That's funny because that was kind of my, that like singing was my, how I got jobs. No, I made my brother sing for you and I don't speak. It's
you
so
sing
funny.
In like
so
the
ironic.
Finale though, or
I do. It's kind of okay. Funny because when they were asking James Ortiz for recommendations for people that could puppeteer, which I hadn't, so but grateful that he thought of me anyway. They were like, and it has to be someone that can sing because we want to make sure that the puppeteer is also singing in the show. So I come into rehearsals and, you know, Milky White was initially a prop. So there's no Milky White line in any of the vocal score. So I went to Rob Berman and I was like, hey, so which parts do you want me to sing? And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll figure that out. Because it was a very, you know, fast process. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I know all the parts already by heart. So like, whatever you want me to do. They never, and I like reapproached later and they're like, oh yeah, we still haven't figured that out. And so I eventually was just like, decided I'm going to sing here. So yeah. I used, you know, the score where it says like all, I'm like, I'm all. So I sing at the end of the opening and in the ends of both of the acts. I think that's it.
Okay. But, oh my gosh. Do you ever just want to just burst out into song in the middle of any of the moments in the show?
Constantly. Oh,
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's
People were singing behind us during like the Witches Rap and things like that when we saw the show.
That's apparently been a thing. Yeah. I had a friend came and there are these teenage girls singing along behind him. And he said, he turned and was like, hey, so we're actually paying to hear them sing it.
Oh, that's savage. Which but is, honestly, I would have done the same.
Brutal. But also like, good for you for saying something, because that would have been, you know, those are not cheap tickets.
No.
I always wonder what I'd say. I remember somebody said to me that what they did once when someone was like singing along the entire time, they just turned around and said, you know, we can hear every word you're saying, right? And they just got really embarrassed because they were just in the moment, like enjoying singing along, and then they stopped for the rest of the show. Right. But I guess that was a more gentle way of doing it. But oh my God.
I hate shushing. It's actually my biggest pet peeve.
Is that your dose of drama?
No, I have a different dose of drama. Like I hate when someone goes shh, like very loudly. I think I'm triggered from like maybe talking in class or something like that, or in a library. I would rather someone say, do you mind keeping it down? Or do you mind? I'm trying to. The shush feels so aggressive to me.
Yeah, I hear that.
It triggers me too.
One time my boyfriend and I got into a fight like very early on because he shushed me. We were watching a YouTube video. I got so mad at him.
I'm obsessed with that's like your fight.
We were watching his high school production of Cats, and I was like talking during one of Grisabella's moments, and he shushed me and I said, we can rewind it. Like, I got really upset. I was like, you don't need to do that. If he's listening,
also,
he knows the story.
The idea of shushing someone while watching your high school production of Cats is incredible.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
Sadly, we have to wrap up and get to our dose of drama. So Connor, you mentioned it and you were kind of.
Yeah, I did mention our dose of drama. So this is the segment in which we share anything that's on our minds that could be drama in a good way or a bad way, because drama is literally everything. And I'm feeling dramatic about something. Twitter rolled out at long last these Twitter circles, which Kennedy, I know you're not a huge Twitter user, but basically Twitter was beta testing this throughout the summer. And now there's this feature where you can add 150 people to like your like top friends, and your tweets will only go out to them. It's kind of like a close friends for Twitter, or like.
And it's even in the same color as close friends on Instagram is. It's like a neutral green.
Oh. It is. And it's drama. I mean, the amount of, you know, gay people love to like feel exclusionary and then feel mad about being excluded all at once at all times anyway. And it is so exclusionary and crazy because people tweet on their main Twitter like, oh my God, the nude I just posted on Circles, or the tea I'm spilling on Circles. And then it's like, wait, why are you tweeting to your non-Circles people who have no way of getting into your circle about what you tweeted on your circle? It's making me feel crazy. I'm feeling dramatic about it. And of course I love being in them, but do gay people really need another excuse to like feel exclusive? And I don't know, they'll always find one anyway. But it's not just for gay people. I guess straight people use Circles, but I don't know what they post on them. I'm
something
not in
boring
any straights.
Probably.
So boring.
Yes. It's
so
like boring. Pictures of Barada. It's definitely pictures of Barada.
Anyway, I'm feeling dramatic about it. Will I keep using it? Yes, but I don't endorse necessarily. Drama.
Okay.
Okay, Dylan, do you have a dose of drama today?
I want Into the Woods to keep extending. I want more creative casting. I want it to continue to change it up. And I am curious, Kennedy, who your like dream replacement for any of the roles would be. Sky is the limit, whoever you want. Mine, to no one's surprise, would be Aaron Tveit as Cinderella's prince.
Oh!
Because we don't really get to see him be funny very often. And I know that he's funny, and I want to see that side of him.
Okay, I'm gagged.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Do you have somebody that you would love to see, Kennedy?
I have so many people. It's fun because the cast, like, we would gossip about, like, who do you think will come in? Who do you think will come in?
Oh, fine, 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 fine.
I don't even know if I would want her to be the witch or the baker's wife, but I would love Audra to come in. I think that she would do such a cool take, and she's just, I mean, vocal iconic status aside, yeah. like her yeah. acting choices, I just like am ravenous for. So
yes,
that's so good. I love that. Somebody in my circle, not my Twitter circle, but in my circle is obsessed with the idea of Patti LuPone being the witch, which I think would be amazing. Of course,
that would be so cool.
You know who I think would be great as Baker's wife, which we're being like such fans right now. Oh my God. I don't even know if she can sing, but Sarah Paulson would slay the Baker's wife.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I feel like she'd be so great.
She'd be so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sure y'all have all come up with creative ideas backstage too of different people you'd want to see. And yeah, that's my dose of drama, is that I want the show to continue.
Aaron would be great, Dawn.
But you know,
Aaron would be great.
Yeah. Do you have a dose of drama, Kennedy?
Let's see. What is my drama? I don't have a lot to like be dramatic over these days.
A blessing.
I just read a really good book. Does that count?
Absolutely. We yes. have seen good book recommendations. I will say, I always read the book our guests.
Oh, really? Recommend. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Oh, that's really exciting because I love yeah. recommending books. Okay. Yeah. Have you read Lincoln in the Bardo?
I've never heard of it.
Oh my gosh. Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders. It is such an incredible book. It's about, okay, so apparently a Bardo is another word for like purgatory or like in between life and death space. Oh, and it's about when Lincoln's son, his like 10-year-old son, died during the Civil War, and how Lincoln like grieved his son. But it is, first of all, written in the format of like citations from different sources. So, oh, cool. And they'll all be like kind of like conflicting. So like a newspaper headline about like the full moon, the night of a party at the White House. And then like a quote from a letter of a servant to her sister being like, yeah. And it was like really cloudy. You couldn't see the moon at all. But like, you get like the feel from all these different citations, and some are real and some are fictional. But then also the cemetery where the son is buried, all of the ghosts that inhabit the cemetery and the way in which they interact and witness Lincoln coming to mourn his son. And it's so well written, and I can't recommend it enough.
Oh, I love that. It's a little historical fiction.
Yes, and I think it should be adapted for the stage.
Oh, it sounds like there's a cool like framing device, especially with the ghosts.
Yes.
Wait, is that the son who did he get run over in the driveway to the lighthouse?
No, so I know that he had a couple sons. I don't know how the others died, but this one...
Because I know that Mary Todd and Abe were never the same after one of the deaths.
Yeah, so this is the one that he died from like pneumonia or something.
Okay.
And apparently Lincoln went to the mausoleum in the cemetery and like take the body out and like hold it. So like, I think that was the like inspiration for... like unpacking that in a novel.
Whoa.
So that is like a level that is deep grief.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Great read.
It sounds like a good read. Oh my God. It sounds like I should rate it on Goodreads, which I famously deleted during the pandemic to eliminate my digital footprint more, which is crazy because I have a podcast. But anyway. Well, Kennedy, this was so fun. I'm thrilled that we finally did this.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Oh, yay. I can feel the authenticity coming from you. You know, the sky is the limit with you. This is only the beginning of your beautiful, more public career.
And everybody needs to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, sure. It's This Is Kennedy. It's my
ooh, my, yeah, This Is Kennedy. I love that name.
Wow, that's also your album. That's also your solo show. That's
how
your...
I answer the phone. Yeah. Oh. all of them.
Oh, that's great.
Very much so.
Yeah, you need to do a solo show once Into the Woods is done. It's going to run forever. But once it's over, you should do This Is Kennedy.
I did a solo show in March, actually, at Greenroom 42. But maybe, you know, the trauma of organizing that, maybe I'll have recovered by the time Into the Woods closes and I'll do another one.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, listen, Kennedy, I would love to meet you one day and David as well. And we can all chat. Can't wait to see you again in the show.
See you on Thursday. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Connor, Everyone should follow you at Connor McDowell, me at Dylan McDowell, us as The Drama Podcast. And I'll see you next time.
Drama!